Yajong, I want to give a content warning for the following podcast episode. During conversations with Ying Teka, they shared some personal thoughts and reflections about their struggle with accepting their son's ASD diagnosis. They mentioned episodes of suicidal ideation. I honor their journey and am proud of their strength and bravery to share their story in hopes of helping others who may have a similar experience. Please stay tuned for a follow-up podcast episode to address the mental health needs of caregivers. Ochawa. Hello, welcome to the Let's Talk About Autism in Ponglish podcast. In the month of September, I was convinced by my husband to do a podcast launch, a virtual podcast launch. And I thought, okay, you know, it's a nice way to get some exposure and, you know, make sure that we get, you know, the name, the podcast out there. And I'm really glad that I listened to my husband in this instance, because I got a very nice message from a couple who reached out and said they wanted to share their story. And I was so happy to hear from them, because that solidified exactly what this podcast was meant to do, is to reach out to all the Hmong families out there that have a story to tell. The Hmong families who have been processing and trying to see where they're at on their journey, and totally ready to giving them a platform to come on and share. And hopefully their story will inspire others and also encourage others. And today I've invited Ying and Kang Hang to join me to talk about raising autism awareness in the Hmong autism community. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thank you. So journey from the notice the signs of autism until today or a couple of days ago, we celebrate the milestone. So
Yes. So how old is he right now?
Yeah, so right now he's 8 years old.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll just go ahead and jump straight into the questions, if that's okay. Yeah. All right. So tell me a little bit more about him. You said he's 8. I'd love to know, like, birth order, siblings, what are his interests, and what are some things you guys like to, favorite shared activities that you guys have with him?
Yeah, so no, you're the first child, So the woman, very happy because, like, for a lot of Hmong families, Hmong couples are try so hard to get a kid, but like more kid. So more the first child was very happy, and then from the age of birth to 6 months old, they normally get kids which you notice any difference from birth to 6 months old. But 6 months old to each young again, you start to learn things like just like normal more kids you bought But after that, they start to sign one Uchi bought more than other kids. So he started interested in started her interest on the thing on his spin.
Okay.
Then he started monitoring the day. So and so spin and start pay attention to your particular activities there, you know, your letters, your alphabets, you know. Very into alphabets. Very into your letters, numbers, and shapes. So they have they start to call autistic journey,
I guess I remember going in for his checkup. I remember, like, you know, they used to give you this paper to fill out, and then you check whether or not they actually meet those milestones.
Yes.
And for us, like, we'll be checked, and then, like, you know, the provider will score at the end, and then they will talk to you about any sort of things that they see that's not within the normal categorized of kids. So a couple of the things that they noted are, like, his social delays and stuff like that, like, a lot of, like, he's not meeting milestones, and that he's not able to perform or talk or verbalize a lot of those things that are on those checklists. So that's kind of like, and then like the provider, when they come in, they will say hi to him, and then he wouldn't respond, he wouldn't care. He will be like reading their signs around the office. Right. So that's kind of like indications from, you know, the provider saying that, have you guys taken him to be diagnosed on this and that? So that's kind of how the conversation first started off.
Okay. And yeah. How old was he at this point?
I think a little over a year old.
A little over a year.
But because he was the first child, so mm-hmm. yeah, maybe because he doesn't have any sister or brothers to talk to, any kids. Mm-hmm. Right now, so maybe that's under her cousin, it was social or the speech delay. Maybe she's like, yeah, he will catch up, you know, grow older, because then he's the first child. So did you want to talk to him? I should never play anything.
Right.
So that's how we thought initially.
It's not just that we thought initially too, because I remember I was in my PhD program and I talked to my advisor, and then, you know, just to kind of share experience and my worries. Maybe she's not even aware of, like, you know, autism and so well. It's kind of really hard because, like, some kids, the first child, they tend to be a little bit quiet, because it's just that piece of that they don't have the siblings to interact with directly. So you never really know whether or not it's sign of autism or it's just more of like a normal process. Yeah. Right. So for us, we thought it was just like normal. Mm-hmm. And then, mm-hmm. you know, when we take him in to see his pediatrician, start noting those things and start asking questions, mm-hmm. kind of how we got the ball rolling.
Okay. 铁子呢,也就 first 名有天啊,你和我你也是 first time, you don't know either, right? You're just like, I don't know, this is our first time too. And we just thought this is how it goes as well. Mm-hmm. So, okay. And you said about 6 months is when you first started noticing some of those early signs. But
6 months to a year old. Meanwhile, other kids, you know, start to learn, start to get interested in here and there. And then so you talk to them, and you engage, you are more eye contact, you know, you learn, but they start to do more, a little over a year old. They really start to get the more 3 months, then they really they want to know, no, yeah, but they like all of a sudden stop eating this and that, just limited to certain food, and then you start responding to the room, and then all the signs start to show up. Okay. So that's the time that he is 18 months old. But then, by that time, he already the bound in your alphabet started by 18 months
old. Right.
So he can say his alphabet like, forward like A to Z, and then C to A. So make us say, oh, we got a smart kid. Like, he's really smart and say Z to A. But we didn't know that. Yeah. That type of thing is like, you know, no more autism. Yeah. So they're smart in a certain way. So they can say things like, oh, the kids such like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that he has autism. So yeah, we got smart kid and he's super smart, so we're very proud of him.
Yes. So does he have any siblings? He has either younger sibling, right?
Yeah, the one sister. Yeah. The more about your parent, so that's why and then on the play until
okay, so he's the older brother, he has one younger sister. What are some things that he likes to do?
So before the sister and the play about on the play, he's really, really into like it's letters, numbers, and shapes, and phonics, and you know, the Monoshai YouTube, right? It's all about the LBB, just songs, you know, about alphabets, or about the train, when they talk about things, building blocks. So he's all into those. And then at one point, letters, because he's so interested to letter numbers. So we want to check a socialize a different area. And then he just like created his own way using his fingers to do numbers, letters, and shapes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. He's like, you can take that away from I'll just create a different way of accessing that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So smart. You said you started noticing between 6 months to about 18 months, and then that's when the real regression happened.
Yeah.
Now tell me, so he's 8 years ago. What was your understanding of autism prior to seeing the signs of autism in your son? I know you spoke with your advisor and they had offered some insight, but like Ying, you said that you used to be a teacher, right? So what was your experience with autism prior to having your son?
So I think both of us, for the understanding of autism before we actually know what autism is that คือสิ่งจองอย่างนี้ออทิสซึมจองอย่างนี้ดาวซินโดรมอยู่ดูเขียนจองอีตัวมีเนี่ยว่าเนี่ยจีจองอย่างหรือตัวอย่างอ่า
ใช
่เนี่ยจีไฮลูอันนี้สปายลูอย่างนี้อย่างต้องหาเรื่องมีตัวอย่างพูดง่ายๆบอกว่าเซนี่ตัวมีตัวใช่ไหมอย่าง so that's how we thought about autism เนี่ยแต่ยังเดินไปยังมั่นหรือเลเบลที่ยังออทิสติกเขียนนะฉันไปกันได้โอเคอ่าแล้วมันจะย้อนย้อนคลาสว่า all the kids are autistic เขียนยังห่างนะที่เราเรียกแค่ slow A เสียSo obviously the big picture of autism before we actually know what autism is, they are mere tools.
Okay.
Yeah, I think my picture of understanding autism like prior to having our son was pretty similar to what Ying was having too. I think
okay.
my understanding was I thought that it was just more of like a label that put on, you know, kids, yeah, 没有多呀，女孩呀，that has mental or physical disabilities.
Okay.
And overall, it's just crazier overall. So that was our initial understanding. And then this whole process of having an autistic kid, I think we've learned a lot along the way.
Mm-hmm. So then is it fair to say that you had never met any individual with autism before?
I think we met before, but...We don't see the positive sign of autism spectrum. Yeah,
okay.
You don't see the negative effect. Like, they don't mind, they don't bring a thing at the other, like, So they can say something for other normal kids. They don't say it, they do something, other normal kids don't do it. So that's how we see autism. So we bought it, but like I said, we don't really care much about it yet.
Okay. So when did you get him diagnosed or...I guess the question is, so you said that he did the assessment, and then what happened after that?
Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it was like developmental delay was noted at his, with his pediatricians, like very early on. And then well, first of all, the pediatrician referred us out to make sure that he's not having like issue with his hearing and all those kind of additional things. And very early, it was really hard for them to also test him too, because he's so young and like he doesn't do what they want him to do. So it's really hard for them to give an assessment. They can't really rule out whether or not he's having hearing issues or other things. So they had to find a way to kind of have him test and to kind of make sure that he's having normal hearing, which came back normal. But then we also have him assess. Back then we were still in St. Paul. So we have him assess for the early childhood education because we're thinking about putting him into pre-K. So we do have him assess as well. So they have their own kind of questionnaires to ask the kids to do. Like they will ask them to like draw a line or draw a circle or draw figures. He wouldn't do any of the things that they asked. So instead,
how old was he?
I think he was like three.
Yeah, around three.
At this point, he was three.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he wouldn't do any of the things that they asked. But instead, by then, like he could read. So he will read the whole passage. Yeah. And they were like, well, we can't really give him a score on that because he's on the test. So he got a zero on the test.
Oh.
And they had to really assess him because he wouldn't do anything they say. He wouldn't draw this line. And then he would just like do things his own way. So that's kind of like how we kind of found out that there's some sort of developmental delay and maybe he's just like thinking differently. So because of that, we did end up getting some help at home for like, you know, through the St. Paul Public School to kind of help him with those kind of developmental delayed and that's how like they kind of guide us into the next step after he's three and starting preschool.
Yeah, on top of that, they need to receive your help where aside your staff to speech delay. I believe that just almost more options. So this is the side team to work on about your speech delay, social development. They are to a step to they need to work, but they never told us that he had sign of autism because I believe that autism is an equal topic, very sensitive. You know, maybe you accept it or so like he bought your sign, but they never talk about it. So the boy that the kid and stop responding to the name, the she, you know, the kids that was a homie and he had my mother, but he just dragged our hands to the fridge to open the fridge and give him milk. So she, you know, So Gutili kind of worried about him, the normal autism. And then instead of talking to the doctor and find out, talk to people, go try to do behind the scene by work on research, find own cure for my to my son. So then she might label the more autism. Yeah. So I did all the research on Google search, all the YouTube, all the TED Talk, everything. I even go to high autism speaks, you know. I got mm-hmm. all the information. I found out that autism spectrum disorder is a lifelong disorder. So there's no cure. And then right. I started saying, yeah, we were jack to me, and until he become normal. A GDMG doctor or other kids, you feel that okay, this little kid is like not normal or they think different. Yeah, they mm-hmm. Got a lot of stress behind on the hand. They finally decided that, yeah, let me talk to this staff to see if normal boy just sign autism. The kid, then yeah, definitely need to sign autism. But the kid actually might let you talk because they are sensitive. Topic. You have the parents, she opened up, and she talked, and she must sense
mm-hmm.
that. Then she will talk about it. She recommended us to see a doctor and talk to the doctor, or referred by a psychologist, like money evaluation. Yeah. But right. she still, even talk to the doctor, but she's still a chicken.
Okay. So let me see if I understand this. When he was about 18 months, Nepal called regression, right? And then you guys, you said around 2, he was getting some in-home services.
Mm-hmm.
And is that part of like early intervention? I think he had said a name, but I know in Minnesota it's probably called something different. So
yeah.
He did get early intervention. And during early intervention, they don't require a diagnosis. So you can, you know, if there's just delays, they'll come in and work with your child. So they yeah. did. But nowhere during that time did your pediatrician or any of those coordinators say the word autism to you. Is that what you're saying?
No.
They didn't say autism. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So then that led to you kind of doing your own research, like there's something going on. And
well, the own research, that thing, because I don't want people to view my son like he has autism. So I try to find myself instead of talking to the doctors.
Oh, okay. So then, is that right?
Yeah, to be honest, I think as parents, I think we're always very fearful of having a child with special needs, and that's different. And I think we're afraid that if we get him diagnosed, like he might get a label put on him, and that's going to affect a lot of things in school-wise.
Okay.
So I think we're just being very scared at first.
Yeah. When he was still little, right? Like, up again.
Yes.
But then you're kind of shocked too, because you're like, but he can read. He knows the alphabet. Yeah. You know, Sunjay, other things, right? Or things that are more advanced than other kids, because God, they're 10 months old, and they buy the alphabet backwards from Z to A. So,
yeah, that's when he was 18 months old.
Oh, 18 months. Yes. And you know, right now I have a baby who's almost 18 months, and my baby is not saying the alphabet at all. So, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you compare him and I'm like, this is Thun. He's very advanced, right? And so I can see how it can be confusing, because you're like, well, he knows this, you know? But then, like, the social stuff, yeah, I think a lot of parents are like, oh, ha, hi, lu, suke, ni ma go. You know, he'll get there, right?
And yeah, so, that's what my mom said too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. And then, so you did consult with your pediatrician a little bit. You consulted with the early intervention clinicians a little bit, right? And then, you were kind of nervous to kind of dig deeper, because you kind of had an idea that it could be autism just from your own research, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you said that sometimes that you were given recommendations and you did not follow those recommendations. Can you tell me more about that?
You can tell.
Well, yeah, we did not follow the recommendation. Yeah, we did in Chinese. So the end, they called Uchika one in Chinese.
Right.
You can accept the truth that they are little kid and the autism. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though they pretty much, like, they are 90%. They're okay, go to autism. But
okay.
We are scared of the truth, accepting the truth, they're autism.
Okay. So he went through the early childhood program. He was getting ready for pre-K, right?
Mm-hmm.
And remind me again, is that when he got diagnosed when he was 5?
Yeah, he got diagnosed when he was 5. But before that, we've been through a lot of struggles. And I talked to King. He actually drove us insanely crazy. So we've been through a whole journey of fighting with autism before everything. Okay. Finally say, yeah, we gotta accept it regardless of the outcome. He, you know, autistic, that you know, we gotta accept it. That's the reason finally get him diagnosed. But before that, we've been through a lot of struggles and craziness, which is like, we could talk a little more about that too.
Yes. I would like to hear more about that.
Yeah. So I just want to say something. So he got diagnosed with autism halfway through preschool. So halfway through preschool was when we finally make a decision that we're going to sign the paperwork and proceed with the process of giving him like medically diagnosed to see whether or not he has autism. So that's when it happened. But as Ying pointed out, the struggle to get to that point was a very long period of time. And we went through a lot before we finally accepted the fact that we can't run away from the truth. And we need to find out. Yeah.
Okay. Before you tell me more about that, I do want to ask you this one question. So Naimul had all the professionals, right? The doctors, the early intervention, maybe the school. How about family members? Did any family members, did you consult with them? I think a message, like I mentioned, like, right? Your mom said, had said something or her response was to some, about the diagnosis or the possibility of a disability. But yeah, did you guys consult with family members? And what was the feedback from them? And I don't know, I'm sure you guys have siblings, but your whole family is gay. Share ideas, or just consult. And of course, I don't know where you fall in your birth orders, but depending, advice from Google Law. So I'm sure there were conversations perhaps about Nathan Mithu. So what were those conversations like?
You want to share first?
So we were living in Minnesota, and my whole family, majority of my family is in California. So I didn't really consult with them. But I think Yang did do some, we didn't consult with any of our family members. We did kind of like bring up the topic of like developmental delay, as like, other disability, just to kind of like see what the family responds to it.
Okay.
And then we felt that even if we consulted with them about autism, we wouldn't have gotten the support to get him medically diagnosed. So we didn't consult like fully with them on that.
Yeah.
The reason why I'm saying this is because we did mention that, because of the fact that we are seeing similar, characteristic and similar of our nieces and nephews, younger than our kids. So we did mention that perhaps, have you ever looked into getting them diagnosed to see if there's any developmental delay? Because with our son, when he was noted that to have some developmental and social delay, we did give him some help, as we mentioned, like at home and so on. So we did suggest that to some of our siblings from his side. Their response has been that it's just a process for the programs to get more money, to have diagnosed and get more money. So from our point of view, because of that kind of negative response, we didn't really give them with like our son possibly having autism.
Yeah, so it wasn't very supportive.
Yeah. So for my mom, so my mom said, yeah, he's just a first child, so he will learn. We didn't really consult like specifically their new autism. He just stopped eating a lot of things. Yeah. And then and then they did all the and they said because of this and that, and then do this and that, and they'll after all, but he will do his own thing. Then he change that. Then he not more. Then he not pizza. Not pizza. That is like that. Yeah, yeah. Then he can do. 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 If he wants to laugh, he just drink. But then he can't laugh. Want to write? Just write. Then write. So he didn't use words. So
right.
Like, not consult in regarding the autism, but in the spiritual side, but didn't really help.
Mm-hmm. So Yinko bring up about shamanism, right? I'm just a little familiar with that, but I'm curious to know, and apologies if it's not kosher to ask this, but what was the answer? You know what I mean? Like, what was the recommendation? Like, if you do this, then you might get better. What were those recommendations that were given to you?
So one part that Gunian bring up all the time, even now she still brought it up. It's kind of funny. But how I go to sister, she moved your kids, huh? They go out there, yeah, let all a drummer from a government, from government, from the HSI, or my time, you know, get more a week, and now it's more bigger. But that time, good joy, and if you're not a tow from week, they go kind of joke, yeah, let all more from June, yeah, not June, yeah, 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 government, yeah, they start assistance, yeah. Yeah, right now, I go to job, they go to do long, I go in more, yeah. But my mom keeps saying that I've been saying to my son that he didn't you long and now I cannot have the royal a modern no teach like no more time no and then he's gonna more. So she's been doing this and they got gumutal and that didn't work, multiple times, not that she worried.
Goodbye, tall wick.
No, I'm talking to someone that I go sorry.
Oh,
I hate that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I did not say that. I haven't said that before. My mom just saying that. Yeah, you did. You're saying that. Because you like it. Come on, you're not going to die. 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 But she said, no. It's like, what are you the king? Like, you cannot get, you're not going to the king. You know? Because
okay.
I'm talking like, I never said that. I just saying they got weak. They got not going to die.
But
that was insane, her own thing all the time to me.
Okay. Yeah. Because she was privy to that information that you, once upon a time, so she's saying, because you had said that, you should call by apologizing to your son. And then once you apologize, he will speak. Perhaps go offended to Jubilee. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Okay, yeah. So the response from your family was not supportive. Probably not what you were looking for.
Right.
Especially anyhow, when it's your first child, you rely on your elders, your other siblings, to guide you, right? To give you suggestions, to kind of look out for you and say, you would hope that they would say, that's out of our realm. You know, we don't know. So let's go to the people who might know, which would be your pediatrician, but they didn't say that either. In fact, they discouraged you.
Yeah.
So tell me, from the age of 3 to 5, before he got diagnosed, tell me about those struggles. What happened during those years that made it very difficult?
Yeah, so the struggles are like, I was talking to King. You want to categorize, right? You want to categorize into two groups. So the first group, your struggles were not pretty much directly related to autism. Yeah. They are socially delayed, their speech delay.
Okay.
So they're struggling. They do kidney struggle. She told me she bought you. How you will struggle. So you try so hard going to high lose. One of the struggles. And then the other one. You talk about and then she respond to roommate. So it's so hard how they usually talk to a little bit of each one responded to the roommate and you hold roommate and you deal more. But all of a sudden just stop. And then the stop nothing can make it hard to know the you are you hold in each day and you talk back in the room more you might have one and you respond to you are. They have the cause of call doctor thing at the age and she all over.
Right.
Yeah, doctor, the other channel of your music, we got checked anyway. The team wanted to stop by because I think because the more autism, they need to get anything kind of punctuality. So it's very hard for the medical team to diagnose the more hearing impaired. They watch down from the regular checkup, refer to the next one, the one with more advanced technology, the planning or the labs or the test of hearing, we think they got the kid energy more, hearing, just get part of it, not a whole complete assessment, but I get part of it. So, energy more, behind from the chain, they do test the king because they judge anything, a bunch of chain, I don't test it, I'm going to draw a look for it, or quiet. And then, because then install into the RB song, we got to turn on the song a little bit, just tiny bit, or then not barely. Just will turn anytime you do the song, and you turn it. Yeah, in the turn, that means the energy lunging. Yeah. So that way, and then we test that way, then you turn every time we want, then you turn the link, but then you respond to the bass, and you get okay.
Right.
You can be relaxed with that, and not low. Yeah. Because that's one of the struggles. The other one was the little trainer, right? Pretty much everything except the any academics related digital training, but other than that, like you can name anything, like you train it by Georgie Jacob, like
yes.
I think like my niece and nephews, they train their they just know how to go pee and how to go poo. But my son, we train that about pee, then they should pee only, then she poop. They don't train poop separately, and then okay, more go to lay down tall, and that became a standard. So every time the Bushi Hona, you know, lay down tall, we have to retrain him that no, you don't need to take all the good tall. So we train everything, you train the normal, and it's about normal. So the body and it's about the air, the jump over the skill she worked on, they train to the air, because she got on job, because she got the air, the and more than more, but he still used his teeth to just more than normal, not so. And then, everything that you train, he doesn't know how to suck on the straws, he doesn't know how to blow his nose, he doesn't know how to spit anything. So the good thing about the spit thing,
things that you do work on is those social skills, those, you know, daily living skills. So you guys had to fill in that gap. But I'm curious to know, did early intervention not provide support to teach those skills?
Yeah, let me go back to the struggles because there are two categories. So first category is related to autism. Second category is quite a fact of outside in regarding the kid and autism.
Okay.
So like I said earlier, they are insane crazy because they are back at that time. Can still move to our PhD program. So, your family members, still younger at that time, so we don't have PhD still daycare. So that means that we'll have to have like a chef or take turns, right? So I work overnight, they came by school, So I think which should affect him much, but affect a lot because they go to, you know, to like a couple hours, and then come over is on a couple hours, and then sometimes we get a little kid, that time we start about more autism for sure, But I think because of his autism and she more attention to channel your YouTube videos, but it allowed more screen time because that's the only choice that could draw on the screen. YouTube, and then I can have a couple of hours of sleep. So that's the only choice, right? It's more choice, right? And then to do your video on the play, advertisement. Then the go on, advertisement, anytime saw advertisement, he was crying. Yeah, just skippable. I was just skipping for him, and then I was fixing problem. And then you just skip to I will let the play that he's crying the whole time until the time. And sometimes, Bill TV, frozen, and then he cried until I fix it. And several times I just so struggled and so frustrated. And then got really more, like I think back, it was so mean, but that time, like, so struggling, so frustrated. thì cũng như một mình một trong cái hoạt sao phụ tên thân thoa thì cũng mất phải phát thọ cái này thì tôi kia ra sẽ yeah you can cry all you want thì như là khóa sao so just to be honest I destroy remote like nearly 10 remotes because effect it tau from hana ya and then the last time I stopped destroying things I go destroy the TV ya yeah? Or the cooking for go they are no got to you remote TV and the shiny we have that hey can you wait for me could you need to cook from work and he's crying you know, anytime anything he would she want to finish and cry maybe because the autism maybe because he be allowed too much screen time and then he cried and then we can go remote you could tell the TV and TV talk yeah and then this one time that I don't remember exactly what happened but you are a little guitar because I know how to play guitar and I bow play guitar you like guitar it is real guitar it's not toy guitar it's real guitar
for him
yeah for him and then that one time I think he wanted to play or something and the guitar was on the floor and he just cry or something like cry and cry and cry you both are go jungle guitar go smash on the floor then the guitar doesn't talk and go open the door and just toss the deck and the next day nên một outside and play guitar to broke mà cũng trong tơ ta. So after everything calmed down, I was just like crying like why I did all this thing, right? Yeah, well, no, like, I'm sorry kid, I'm sorry. Like you might go high sorry for us and yeah, next time I'll try to be a better father. What do things like wrong call yeah, what you want next time when you cry again, I got the same struggle. I got the same frustration and then I keep doing things again, repeating the same thing again. And then to a point where I was sitting down and like my kid came to school, yeah. But sitting down on the couch and the long day, one day go where I normally no no for she no day go to home no more to go to home. Yeah, he is like he's a kid. He doesn't know anything. He is naive. He is like innocent. Like why I did all this thing and then I just cry like you're going to lose. Yeah, because I did all the things just to help you and then like nothing get better. And at one time I could eat. Của do vậy cứ thâu tàn nhà của do vậy cho nên mong nghệ cho đá vậy và I say Jesus bác của they can't do this on my own anymore Jesus help me and cái gì có khó thế so instead of doing research how to help my son I do research how to help myself become a better father
right
so I listen to all TED talks of parenting do all the Google search how to be a good parent so I ask myself several times like cũng như được good father but I every time I ask myself, I say, yes, I am a good father, but more just struggle, not like challenge, you know, more just frustration, not what you want. And sometimes King asks me, like, why do you do that? I say, yeah, because it's so frustrated. I'd rather just destroy Remo than slap my son or do something now or kill myself, you know? So,
yeah
a lot of crazy thing.
Yeah, it's stressful. And especially if you're trying to exist on very minimal sleep too, right? Yeah. So, got there from the good work third shift and you guys were trading off. So
it's not just third shift, but overnight 6 p.m., 6 a.m.
Right. Yeah. So, and then you're trying to sleep, but you can't, right? Because you're trying to watch him too. So it definitely impacts you. And it's actually fine though, you know, if you don't have that outside support, you know, and it adds up. And how many years were you doing this cycle where you were not receiving support, but you were also working third shift, like about 2 years during that 2 year period?
It's the whole time.
The whole time. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's stressful.
When he was young, I will cry before I knew my dad knows the autism. So very struggle. Sometimes it happened to King too, like we just visually like, okay, you might know about kid and the chicken dog. So we did talk like, yeah, we vegetable you don't know kid and chicken dog. We'll deal with the education part as long as he's normal.
Right.
And all the time like, yeah, we are so lucky that we have a smart kid. So, sometimes
you feel
yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you feel conflicted, right? Because you're like, it's on Jay Leshi, your basic things, what you thought, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's tough, you know? And I'm sorry that from the Jumonatupane, as far as just even understanding what level of support you needed, because a lot of times, a disability or more autism, you know, they even the providers, we focus on the child that sometimes the parents get forgotten, you guys need support too.
Yeah.
You know, and so I will say as a field, for what I do, you know, we definitely have incorporated caregiver training because we realize that's a vital part, right? Like mm-hmm. if we just treat the child and not the parents, then, you know, when they come home to you guys and you don't know what to do, well, that's a disservice to the child. So, you know, I'm sorry to hear that time was so, it was rough, you know? And
sometimes like, you wish that, like, you know, at the same time, but sometimes like, I just wish they just disappear from room that they know. And sometimes can just like, I wish they did some okay, you know, like, because I want you all. Sometimes you just say, no, so, yeah, go and join, come on, happy, you know, like, you just go to the game, and I got so frustrated, but if you had no idea, you don't know, you don't know, you don't know, you don't people, but I was like, you actually think that, maybe it's just easy way out, like, it's more use, so to that point until we actually then come to the final decision that one thing that knows except regardless mm-hmm. of the result and the outcome. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it sounds like you guys were pretty isolated from your support system, you know, and you just more right? They make you feel like you're making things up or you're seeing things that don't exist and you're going, no, this is our life. You know, we're experiencing it every single day.
Yeah, I think I remember one time because I did bring it up to family members that, you know, our son's crying, having issues, he's frustrating. And then it's always been like, well, maybe he's doing all that because you guys are probably teaching him.
Yeah.
So they're because you're, like, you're doing what?
He's doing all those because you guys are teaching him. So it's more like, and then like that kind of brings us to question, you know, or the fact that are we really bad parents or is that why like, you know, he's doing all these things, he's not like talking normally, he's not being able to express himself, he's not being able to manage a lot of like, you know, his angers and stuff, is that like because we're doing that and he's seeing and mimicking like our behavior? So at one point in time we're questioning whether or not we just something wrong with him,
right? You know, we have to think about, you know, like as parents, based on mental health, we have to get that in check, right? So that we can only function well and be the best parents we can be when our mental health, our physical health, our emotional health, all of that is that we have a good balance. So, you know, Ying, I'm sorry to hear that, our shift can change you a little bit, right? Because you're existing like, you know, and then during the daytime, you're like a vampire. You need that sleep, you know. And so it does something to you biophysically, y'all. And then on top of that, you know, you must meet them to roommate and you rely on you. Of course. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, then you meet them want, you know, higher needs, right? Do for himself. So, you know, I can definitely see how that was a really tough time. And then, like you said, you had that moment of clarity where you're like, I need help, right? I need help. And then you guys went and sought that diagnosis. And you said that was at 5 years old. And was that from his pediatrician or from the school?
So when we finally accepted that, we got to find out what the outcome is. That we went down to a pediatrician, talk about referral, but all your lower specialty or diagnosis. Yes. So at that time, the more we refer more to a children's hospital, not all in the same point. Because then you know, you have pre-screening times before by the Lou and specialty for Fraser. So the most I know that children's hospital, they were pre-screening and they can just talk this morning, like, they know the history, you know, your family history, they talk about the condition of the kid, and then they talk about the new year. At that time, in the year, you're not going down. Thì là mỗi lần một cháu từ con đỏ nó nữa nữa nói khó lên được bóng hoa so that yeah được bóng hoa thì cả sống đỏ but he was just crying big time then được đỏ nữa nó có tàu ra so bóng hoa đọc từ gì đây đấy yeah là em gì đấy yeah sau đó có phải thứ phải còn đợi gì giống như nó một khi nào như là bóng hoa thì là thứ cái này người chỉ cần nói but my kids like I'm gonna eat it nó mới được quá so nữa nó thì lấy cho nó phải qua nó khỏi pre screen ta thì nó ứ thong là nó ứ thong này as parent thì ứ tin cha cái khoảng history của cha thì ứ kể là thì ứ chai này nhở ứ chai bao khoảng truth thì nó mò thì sao mà cái cho stop ứ thong ở đây bên mò discussion ở đây nhở and then lỡ đâu là coach ứ as parent thì yeah we guys should be okay because they process and we got a coach through the process how diagnosed here either diagnosed the more autism I call just result your child got a kid that you have to kid my diagnosed the more autism then it all helps from a school or other social services and mm-hmm. the helps is meant to manage your weaknesses so they're totally different from the UPA they're autistic kid they like you know do you want to do a partner gonna more than other autistic kids, like, the picture is totally different. Like, clarify the picture, you remind the for autism. And then mm-hmm. after that, you really accept my side of people, say, okay, yeah, go ahead and diagnose. But before that, even though you do open up, you should still in China, you know, until your psychologist, the doctor, the specialist, another talking person, they have to calm us down. They have to say that your kid has autism, but he's on the smart side. So, nên một đàn ông sang để tao mò hậu mà anh sẽ lấy và try phá nửa chuyện này phá trái nữa.
So during this time, so you guys were in Minnesota. Nếu bạn chỉ any clinicians yêu mong that could help you to understand about the diagnostic process or anything about autism?
No, chỉ chỉ là những cái đó after học pre screen, những món sản phẩm fresh, những lúc specialty là những diagnose cho những có mình nhỏ mà ở trên giường nhỉ? Này là sáu bạn đang chơi một trò, ai khi một school á, khi chỉ cho bảo cho ai cái kiểu autistic nhỉ, mà trên giường nhỉ? À, vậy hay cho là về thêm cho được phải phim điện thoại của nó, cứ bảo cho ở đó kiện hoặc là mà trên giường là function sáu của tôi sẵn á. So make me happy that my son is on the smart side and then cũng cho phải cũng phải do all I can to help him become better cho ai tin được mình á. So at the time, like, I literally happy to be by Daniel Stoffrager. And then, no, the bar, it takes a couple hours, and then the logic was like that, yeah, go to me, you know, more autism. Go through all the questions, like, your Daniel Stoffrager, like, go through all the questions, all the tests, and say, yes, your son has autism. But, go to son, and call IQ, you know, very high. So at that time, I believed like 90 something percentile. And then make me happy that, yeah, he just needs help on the social part, yeah, speech part and all, yeah. So we just like, thoi lỡ, đã nói xong là, để biết thỏa thuận hậu mà biết thỏa thuận cái ba đồng nữa.
Okay. Did he ever have ABA?
What's that?
ABA therapy. Yeah, applied behavior analysis. I'm curious if during early intervention or even after the diagnosis, the Fraser, did they prescribe ABA services for him?
No, reference on the talk. The case manager and the case manager and Molly Bagger. But COVID hit got time.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So usually,
everything was on pause.
The case manager. Even though they're even dialogue, which is out going to buy contact, not y'all the people. Because like COVID is so scared at that time, no vaccine. It's so scary. You'd rather talk to the child than you lose the child because of COVID. So we didn't do any other things besides schooling.
So I'm just curious to know then what kind of therapy or intervention did he receive? Speech therapy, occupational, go ahead, you mentioned feeding clinic. So what assortment of therapy did he receive after the diagnosis?
The feeding clinic, because then the gene normal all of a sudden stop eating, yeah. They do like a 3 refer more of a feeding clinic. And before pre-COVID, I'm easy to get in. So we worked on a couple months for this point one to do your normal and then we hit care but other thing came I talk about other thing
You know, when he finally got that medical diagnosis, we reached out to the school because obviously he's going to preschool at that time. And it was during middle of like preschool, but then they are moving toward virtual learning because of COVID.
Right.
So it didn't really get much help that much. I mean, for autistic kid, they don't follow whatever thing that they tell them to do. And it's making it harder too to do it virtually, you know?
Oh yes.
With the thing. But I think at school he's getting occupational help. He's also getting some speech therapy help. He got a caseworker and then like a whole pretty much team. I can't remember all of them, but like pretty much a whole team to kind of help him along those process. So when we first started this thing, like he will meet with them like virtually during that time, mm-hmm. and then they will walk through the things. They will start to kind of like pick up what he's like strong in, so that they could ways for him to kind of communicate, so he will understand. So okay. that was initially the start, and then when he went into kindergarten, the very early of kindergarten was still virtual because of COVID again. But right. then when they went back on site, and he got onto like the one-on-ones with his whole team, I think he made a lot of improvement with that. Mm-hmm. So they were able to find ways to make him understand and to communicate. Because he relies a lot on like letters, writing, and just like that kind of writing process. So instead of like them talking to him, you know, like what we're talking right now, mm-hmm. they would just write a story and then he will read it and then he will do
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of like the first thing that they did was like to kind of figure out how they're going to communicate with him. So mm-hmm. I think that kind of helped a lot with like the whole other process.
Yeah, so using social stories, right? Because that's mm-hmm. his strength. Yeah. So no, that I love to hear that. And I will say, you know, I'm really surprised that he did not receive ABA any time before, or even now, he's never had ABA therapy.
I don't think so.
No?
ABA,
law.
ABA,
okay.
Therapy.
Yeah. Okay.
So probably not.
Right. And I guess that's where I come in. I go, you know, I would say as soon as you know, more any signs or any delays like that. Of course, every state is different. Okay. I think we were all learning that as I'm speaking with various parents from different states, I'm going, oh, some states are a little bit more proactive, you know, 18 months. They're like, oh, here we go. Here's early intervention in the home, 40 hours. And then maybe some states are not as proactive and they rely on the parents to be the ones seeking out services, right? Or maybe the wait list is so long that they don't get to everyone. Or maybe, I don't know, everybody just runs their programs different. But it does make you wonder, what if Tonu first got, you first had concerns with the pediatrician for 18 months when he had the first initial assessment where Nichika, you know, he wouldn't let them like put anything on his head or anything. What if somebody at that point had said, hey, let's get him into ABA. Let's get him into early intervention, because early intervention isn't just ABA. It can be floor therapy, right? Or foreplay or play therapy, something, right? Or maybe he did have some, but maybe it wasn't intensive enough for his needs, right? What difference that would have made in that 3 to 5 year gap for Yu Ying, you know? Maybe if you had support and maybe when you got home and Kang went to school, but you had someone over to spend that time with your son, you know, for maybe 4 hours a day. And maybe during that time going, not Minji, right? And that's okay. As long as you're there and you let me go, let my jago. What if you had had that for 2 years? Maybe you wouldn't have gone through kind of the struggles that you had as well. So I'm really disappointed that the system kind of failed you guys. That's a big statement I'm making, and I'm realizing that. But I would say, looking at how other models are structured, like, and of course, I do wonder then, was that part of also your fear of getting him diagnosed, that you were like, you know, we'll just deal with this on our own. We'll figure it out. You know, and so you weren't also seeking out that support either. Like, you know, maybe the support was there, but you weren't seeking it out. Or maybe the support was lacking and you needed help, but you didn't know how to, you know, ask for that help. Like, I don't know, like when you guys talk about, you know, the fear of accepting that your son has autism, it was very real, where to the point where you guys were talking about, you know, taking your own lives, because maybe that would have been easier. And I'm really sad to hear that, when I think, gosh, if there was just one family member or one professional that had known that that was the struggle you guys were going through, all they had to do was get some paperwork together, and someone could have provided service to you guys to help you, you know, to bridge that gap. Because, you know, autism is not something to, it is stressful, right? But you more have the right supports, the right level of supports for you as a parent and as your child. You will see that he has so much potential, so much gains.
And
that's our job, is to come in and help him to unlock those potential, and then also to show you guys how to do the same thing. And I'm just very sorry to hear that during those years. And this was only in the last decade that seemingly the system failed you guys. But you are on the other end of it now. You guys you got him diagnosed. He's in school. He's 8. And then he also, I guess, did you have your daughter before you left Minnesota?
Yes.
Yes. So he has a sibling. How is he as a big brother?
I think, the little sister, I know, really, to her, I know, I don't know more kids, typical normal kids. Yeah. Maybe this is a play, she has common sense. Maybe all high, something like other kids, high, or no friend. Like, she can be a friend with anybody just in a few minutes. You know, when she do the other kids, like, maybe it's not good point to tell she, she able to meet a friend, all this time, then she meet a friend, But it's all the time, she can go anywhere and be friends, she can talk, she can eat anything, we eat pretty much anything we eat, and she eat, isn't it? So, she remember, the little work hard on her daughter, and then at one time, we talked to the doctor that, another said, hey, how do you know that she's normal? But I was like, well, because she's like other kids, like the kick up, the high low, the low, the low, she stand on the king, she respond a little bit. So I think she's normal. I think until she was like 3 or 4 years old, then my bone of the way, some play. Before that, like, he was really lonely, but little older in the ball play. I think they had to sign up to start to socialize. Well, of course, start your help from school. Ball play and a sister. And then they do pretend play. But before that, he didn't do any pretend play. He didn't do any imaginary. But my daughter, it's a play, and so pretend play. So I think engaged to sister, to brother, not a play. Now, I would say that because all the helps we receive through schools and more to second child, help a lot.
Good. So I'm curious to know, so he's 8. Have you ever spoken with him about, his autism? Do you guys talk about it? And especially with sister, you notice a difference, right? Like, sister has a lot of friends. She likes to play. I do not. Like, do you guys have those conversations with your son?
Yeah, so we just recently have that conversation with him. He was actually the one to brought it up, and we never really thought of having that conversation with him until his case manager was talking to Yang the other day, actually just last week. And then the case manager did ask that question about, like, have you ever, tell your son that he has autism? And then that we never really thought that we're going to tell him, because we don't want him to feel different, to know him feel different, or any of those things. So it was just recently that, he told us that he's different. So we asked him, what made you think you're different? Mm-hmm. And then did people say something to you or someone? I think, kids,
he said he's
as
not
they
normal.
Get, they get, he's not normal.
Yeah, he said he's not normal.
We recently just moved to Michigan. He started the new school. So it's always that fearful of being, the new kids. They're going on at school and so on. Mm-hmm. So we had to, tweak stuff out of him. But I think the overall thing is that he is starting to know that he thinks differently than other kids. So he was the one to actually, ask us that questions that he's not, told us that he's not normal. So we did have the conversation with him that he has autism, and that was a while back. We didn't really tell him straight out away. We kind of let's talk about this topic. And then we talk about the positive component of it. It's just kids, they just think differently. It doesn't mean that they're dumb. It doesn't mean that they're inferior. It just means that their brain is perhaps structured in a in a different way. They just think differently, but that doesn't make them any less inferior. And then we talk about like some of the characteristic and so on. And then at the end, he even told Yang, he was like, so that means I'm autistic. And then we're like, what if we told you that you have autism? And then I think he takes it in a positive way.
Okay.
When we approach it from the positive side of it.
So initially, I thought, oh, is she aware? Do you need to talk? And the other thing is like, we don't know when it's appropriate to talk to a kid that he has autism.
Sure, yeah.
And the other thing is that we don't know how to approach. We are not expert in that. And yeah, so we don't know how to approach. And so we high get them autism, and all of a sudden he's scared, and he's chihuahua or anything, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's chihuahua autism, actually, yeah. But we don't know how to approach. We don't know when it's appropriate until somebody say that, have you ever talked to him? Maybe you got talked to him, oh yeah, because I have autism, this is why I go tell you why not. This is why I really think different. So that triggered that. Yeah, it probably is the time. So we approach by want to talk to our topic and then talk about the characteristics or the more material. Like, I don't, the background, my background, change the boy, see how we responded to it. And then, the positive respond, the positive side. And then, okay, now we can fully discuss autism. And then we can fully say that you have autism. And he's just like, yeah, I have autism, man. I'm different.
Yeah, I think the day after we talked to him about it, he went to school and he told his case worker that he has autism. So she was like, so what do you know about autism? And then like he gave her the whole lecture of how, you know, like, so I think in all, I think it's sort of probably give him the solution that he's kind of looking for, because he started to move things differently. You know, like a lot of the questions people responded in a very normal way. Yin could give you that example in a little bit. But the other kids will respond in a very normal way. And then his thinking will be like a little bit different. So I think in all, like with us telling him recently, I think that kind of is more of like a solution to whatever thing that he has going on in his head.
Yeah. So as he grew older, he started curious about the kids. So one fear that we always more idea that, if you know that, you know, so I don't know that, or that new, how much for our class, or that new, how much for the kids, and the team, how much for long to that, or that new, how much for the lady, all the kids, while the kids, they stay in the class the whole time, but he got one here and there and have many teachers. So that's like, when it's a good time to tell him, it's a good time to address that. So we glad that the delete idea, okay, I'm not normal. And initially, it's scared when you get one, we have to have a call, and she wanted that. Yeah, I just know it. So, okay. The time that he realized, like, new software that new to King Zhao. So, you call example, the school and the way on, the members, staff member, the idea, new guy, you do sana define seasons. So, I think that the thing had the normal kids, when they start talking about the seasons, like summer, winter, fall, but my son was like, okay, it's winter because Lu Erlen tell a certain way, and then she reached that, and think about no, that's winter. Well, they was like, yeah, you are thinking it's like at a different level. You are not wrong, but you are not answering the answer like we looking for, like summer, winter. But you're saying because the earth tell in a certain way, and she thought, I think about winter. Like, that is like really awesome, right? He's thinking it's at a different level.
Yeah, so you mentioned that he gets pulled out. So I'm curious to know what is his, I'm assuming he has an IEP, and what is the percentage that he's in a mainstream classroom and then the percentage where he's pulled out?
So in the past, we always, even now, we always thought good feedback and then what's wrong and the progress, right? Improve a lot. So each time, we more meeting, so the event is called milestone. Yeah. So we slowly see the how much take away, because then we call milestone.
Right.
Which is good because our goal is not like put in a special program and gonna continue. Our goal is more to draw and slowly bind to can get your component might take away. Yeah. So meet a milestone at a time, slowly meet all those. And recently, for class special program, they meet all those milestones, which is like uber happy about that. So,
I think when he was first diagnosed, when we got the diagnosis and we started the process, back when he was in preschool, I think he was getting pulled out pretty much like every day. I can't remember exactly how many minutes, how many hours
exactly. Sure.
He was getting pulled out a lot
okay.
during those time. And even when they went virtual, he was still having to like log in during that time
mm-hmm.
so that he could work with them. Mm-hmm. When he went to kindergarten, it was pretty consistent, you know, every single day as well for, you know, different all quarter amount of time that they have per his IEP plan. Mm-hmm. And then as he moved into the first grade, as he's meeting those milestones, they're slowly letting him go because he met those milestones. He doesn't need those help anymore. And then he went to second grade and then was slowly reduced to the point in which he finally was able to tell them that he doesn't want to get pulled out anymore because he wants to do what other kids are doing. So now that he started third grade, it was just a couple of days ago that we did an exit from like the special ed for him because they say that he still has some delay, but not significant delay that they think will interfere with him doing well in class. So mm-hmm. at the moment, moving forward, he's not gonna be in the special ed anymore, but they're still gonna help him and just like assess him to make sure that everything's kind of still going well before they totally let him go.
Yeah, so in the past when he was younger, we do teacher all the time in our classroom. Yeah, but sometimes they didn't both tell us sometimes they scream, some cry, or they're playing games and didn't cry. Or sometimes mm-hmm. finish a task and then move to the next task and he's crying, so the teacher got problem. But like a couple of days ago, our last meeting, the teacher she noticed that he's an autistic kid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In the meeting, autism, she will never notice the other sign and the more autism.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean they're not more autism well, because like I said, autism is a lifelong disorder. But they're able to, through your help, through school, and your social services, through school, they're able to advocate for themselves, they both communicate, they both socialize, wrong with your peers. Even though he still have autism, but he can be the true himself
Right, he's able to learn those coping skills, right? The appropriate coping skills and understand the social norms that sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and that's okay. Yeah, well, I'm really glad to hear that academically he's doing well, you know. What did my friend say recently? Hindsight is 2020. But yeah, if you could go back and say, gosh, if we just gotten support, Tony May, and teach those gross fine motor skills, teach him those social skills, those, you know, the things that other than academics, you know, how much further could he be now?
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't have had to struggle those years, you know, to call. He would have been self-sufficient and been able to do all those things. But I'm glad that Nunani wanted a story to share so that, you know, if there's another family out there that's kind of going through similar struggles, that they would know that, you know, we don't have to struggle just because wherever you are, because we don't have the support, we don't know that we have support. Because like you said, sometimes the inside, your family is your source of support, but sometimes they also don't know either, right?
Yeah.
So you have to look outside of that. So sounds like school's going well for him, and that's exciting that he's kind of, you know, not needing that extra support at school. So tell me, what is your biggest worry for your son now and in the future? And what is your dream for him in the future? And what is your plan to achieve it?
So, you know, our biggest worry for our son has always been whether or not he's going to be able to advocate for himself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's why we work so much in going through this whole process and work so much with the school just to make sure that, you know, his IEP plan previously will help him so that he could proceed and get to the point in which he could advocate for himself. So that's always been kind of like our worries for him. But, you know, from talking to his team at school during his special ed exit thing, it seems like he's able to advocate for himself. He's been able to tell them when he doesn't want to do certain things. He's been kind of like talking to people, starting to make friends and all those things. So that kind of like helped calm our worries a little bit. So I think that was the main thing that we're worried about him. Moving forward, I think our biggest dream for him is always kind of be more of like in the future, be able to do the things that he loves.
Mm-hmm.
And also be able to advocate for himself, be independent without us, and pretty much just have a strong foundation to do whatever he wants to do in the future.
Yeah. So on top of that, I think that a lot of parents with the kids, the more autism, even though some talk on YouTube, they brought up a question, right? They call it, yeah, the question, yeah, that's mm-hmm. the, so I yeah. think through all the social services, the help through schools, and of course, we were a lot of help, mm-hmm. I think all these answer that question, like, yeah, mm-hmm. so before this, it was like, yeah, how could you survive? Yeah, so mm-hmm. I think it's a big part of the worries. But more, yeah, they can drink, yeah, can hide, he's not gonna, yeah, do a lot of more. He's still smart as he can, but yeah, be able to work with other people. Yeah, it doesn't matter, yeah, the smart work, yeah, I can work with other people, probably need to be successful, yeah. So he want to be like academically successful, well, and be able to work with other people, teamwork, or, I would say that in the way, move to a stage, and when you got autism speech about the king, and hope that other people will learn from it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that as parents, we do have that fear and that worry, right? Because mm-hmm. we're just so nervous, you know, like, did we do enough? Do we know enough to show our kids enough? And then they surprise us when I just feel like I'm not normal. Right. And then you guys let him lead the conversation and you filled in the gaps for him. And then once he got the big picture, I wonder if like even Nitsu, he understood even more than you guys did. Like he accepted it so quickly and so easily, y'all, so freely, so honestly, like, oh, that's me. And then just carried on with life. And you know, whereas it took you guys like 8 years just really struggling, you know, like, oh, what does this mean? What are the, you know, what are the complications, what are the implications of a diagnosis? And for him, he accepted it just like that. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think children are beautiful and amazing in that way, in the way that they see the world through lens so much more freely mm-hmm. and innocently than Dilla, right? So yeah. Sometimes, you know, whenever I talk to parents, I say, you know, you have to remove your own barriers to let your child, you know, pursue what the future in the way that they see it, right?
Yeah.
So I know we talked about this. Something that Ying, you mentioned when you reached out to me was you guys wanted to share your story so that you could kind of raise that autism awareness, even though it took you guys a little long to embrace and accept it yourself. So what is your message for Hmong families who are on the fence about autism spectrum disorder or the diagnosis? And if there's one thing you would have done differently on your journey, what would that be?
You know, my message is that if you have a kid who could potentially have autism and you're suspecting that they're having autism, you should just go ahead and pursue with the medical diagnosis, because if it's the truth, you can't run away from the truth. Even if you do all these things that we did previously, you know, the first probably like first year of our son's life to just kind of make him more normal, that's not helping. So, I mean, you're not running from the truth. It's not going to be helping your kid and either way, you know. So, I mean, the fact that if you could just learn to accept the truth very soon and sooner in your kid's life, then the sooner you could just use that time to seek help and get the resource to help your child so that he or she could become the best of him or herself. So I think that's kind of something that we learned and we wish that we would have done that really early on. Yeah. But again, at the same time, it's kind of like common for us coming from like having no background aside from, you know, that just very, very negative thought about what autism is to the stage mm-hmm. in which we're now. So, you know, for us, I think I just kind of wish that we have done it earlier. But going back, looking back, reflecting back, I think we probably didn't make the wisest decisions in the beginning. But I think it took us a long time to get to our current point. But I think we probably make the right decisions in getting him the help that he needs. And he's doing really well in school at the moment. So we're just really happy with that.
Yeah, so one thing, yeah, personally, yeah, one thing, like, if I could do differently, could just go talk to somebody, like talk to the doctor or just talk to the staff in Duoshan, you will do that. Hey, I'm so struggled. He will do this and that. I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to kill myself, things like that. And they will help me. But yeah. I still get myself, yeah, I've been through this struggle. I just go cry myself. And then, yeah, I don't tell anybody. So if I mention, say, yeah, struggle, talk, I need more get back, probably they'll find a way to help me already.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. That's something I would do definitely. And my message to the parents out there, so don't be scared that your kid, your kids are autism. Yeah. I've been reading a lot of articles there, messages there, book reviews. Some people, they say, yeah, because your kid is smart, so autism isn't really a big deal. It's not a really big deal. But regardless, because your kid is smart, she's smart, yeah, because autism is a spectrum. When your kid is smart, you're smart. Yeah. So yeah, because you have to kid is smart, he or she will deserve help. But the kid is smart, and he deserve help. Yeah. So to get back to me, and the earliest, yeah, can and the earliest got to get back, and back to me, so, more your other co-workers, the more your kid, more autism, she might let you get back on.
Okay.
Probably this year, like, you got kids, and I got by school, and the Gima protected due to no call disability. Yeah. They like, let me call by the teacher, talk, call the principal, talk, then, hey, get the mirror, and keep doing, and take down the door, and the gate, door, and because I think because they're like more than child special ed, they're scared, well, whatever reason it is, and they don't mean child protected. So the more to co-worker, they don't mean suspended from school because they mean accused. But our son, they go to school, but that is because they call disparity. Yeah.
Yes.
They understand that, yeah, there is him. And they need to find help, they understand. Even though your peers actually back home during a time when they struggle, huh? But yeah, then it's more job, how anybody's job, where they're more, yeah, autism. Maybe, like, just, yeah, good to meet you, and he do talk, and God needs to take care of me, yeah.
Right. No, you make a good point, you know, to you make a diagnosis there, you do have that protection, right? Legally, the school has more behaviors law. They look at your IEP, they look at your behavior plan, right? So, you're right. And I just to wrap this up, in the beginning, Pope first started talking, your initial understanding of autism was that you thought you didn't know what autism gay. This is a word. If you listen to our podcast, this is a word that I always say in our Hmong community, in our Hmong culture, in our Hmong language, which is lalu for autism. So shada shilalu hatia dumnengle doa, right? But and then that was also your understanding of autism in the beginning. But now he's so bright. You said his IQ is like advanced for his age. Has that changed your understanding of autism as far as how you would define it?
I think you call it a definition or you call thought and it changed after you came at Daniels and I psychologist said to doctor and talk that what autism actually, yes, yeah, it's a good thing. Yeah. It could be a good thing, but the whole spectrum with a bunch of characteristics. Yeah. So you might truly, well, not 100% understand about autism, not which you're expert, right? But you kind of see that, yeah, autism is here in your door. They'll be more like the very intelligent, very smart in one way, but they lack the other way. They will consider they are double gifted because they are gifted one way, but they need help on the other way. So, which way to help the car witness, but at the same time to still keep the car strength or challenge or strength, the overall then improve our weakness. You know, according to my point of view, the young smart kid, yeah, the common car witness more improve that, yeah, the car witness up level up the way, you know, more strong. Yeah, so I think that's the better way for all parents out there, yeah, that the kids are smart, like all the same thing, or go through all the therapy and about how their kids become better.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I hope that this conversation helps to share with other parents too that every child has their own strengths, their own gifts, you know.
Yeah.
And not only that, you know, we all have so much to learn from them, you know. They can teach us a lot. Something that I always want to make sure that we share is that the individuals with autism, they're so smart.
Yeah.
The only barrier is that they cannot communicate that to us in a way that makes sense for us, but that's on us to understand. That's not on them, right? Yeah. So that's our job to try to understand. And thank you so much for sharing your story today, Ying and Kang. I really appreciate you being transparent and vulnerable and sharing this in hopes that if there's another family out there, Hmong, Chia Hmong, you know, knowing that your struggles, you know, you don't, it's very real, you know. If you don't talk about it, do talk about it, your child will still have autism. You seek services, don't seek services, they will still have autism, right? Yeah. And so as parents, you want to give them the best chance to, like you said, to be able to learn how to advocate for them. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing your story. And I hope that we can do a follow-up. I'd love to hear his journey and what happens in the next 10 years. Can you believe it? In 10 years, he'll be done with high school. You know, so time goes by fast, you know, and I want to give you guys kudos for really embracing it. And also, I love the story about how you guys and navigating him guided him during that conversation about him having autism. I think that's a beautiful story. You guys did so great. And it also shows how far you guys came too. So you should be so proud of yourself that, you know, you guys got to a place of understanding and acceptance. And you're like, you know, but still, you know, parents and very protective, like, oh, we don't want to scare him. But then letting him lead that conversation. And then once you realize, oh, he got it, then as a family, you can kind of like shift gears and move into this next journey, right? This next chapter in your journey. So thank you guys.
Yeah.